Good morning. Welcome to Northfin Christian Fellowship. Like a lot of you, we've been taking advantage of, took some vacation the last couple weeks, been missing church, and I know a lot of you were at church camp last week, so it's great for everybody to be back here together this morning. Before we go to God's Word in prayer, let's take a moment and pause for prayer.
Holy Spirit, we are so thankful for your presence with us. You are dear to us. We acknowledge you, we honor you, and we ask that you would come and speak through Rick in this moment, that what you promised would be true, that as your word goes out, it would not return empty, it would not return void. So we entrust this time to you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So turn with me in your pew Bible, please, or whatever electronic device, and the words will also be on the wall. We are going to look at Isaiah 55 today. It's page 615 in your pew Bible. I'll give you a moment to get there or pull it up. This is a famous passage. Certainly the first three verses are very much so, but I want to read the entire text and do my best to talk about the entire text. So Isaiah 55 and 1. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know, you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and let forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Okay, we are taking a kind of one scripture passage, not out of context, but to put it in context. It's a little tough when we're not preaching a series, so just a little context for this. I did not come up with the witty title, The Great Invitation. It's in a lot of pew Bibles. I think the ESV has it as the Lord's Great Compassion. But this is a famous passage of scripture, again, the first three verses most especially. The author of this book of Isaiah is Isaiah. That's not always necessarily true in scripture, but it is. Isaiah is generally referred to as the greatest prophet. Some of the early church actually considered the book of Isaiah the fifth gospel. Isaiah, like most good prophets, unfortunately met a horrible end. Isaiah was sawed asunder by Manasseh. That is according to Jewish tradition written by Justin Martyr. And that actually, some would say, is referenced in Hebrews 11:37. But he met an awful end. The date of Isaiah, of the book writing, and of his ministry is not actually perfectly clear. In broad terms, to settle on some numbers, from 739 to 681, most people are saying was his active ministry years. So it's a little tough to do math when you're doing the BC stuff, but 40, 50 years in there that he is active in ministry. And who is this book written to? This book is written to Israel. And Israel at this time was clearly wayward. I could pull up scripture reference after scripture reference. We all know it. Israel went through cycles. This book is written to a wayward Israel, such that Israel was actually exiled into captivity in 605 BC. So a little context. Ho, we didn't read that. The NASB and the King James, I don't want to say are more accurate, but they start with the word ho. Is that how this starts? And Jesus used something similar when he preached. He would say, truly, truly. And so what does this mean? This means, hey, hey, Isaiah is saying, stop. Are you listening? In 2024, put down your cell phone and listen to me, is what Isaiah is saying. He wants your attention. What I'm about to tell you is important. Listen. Did you catch it? Those of you that are note takers, we start here. Come. In the first verse alone, come four times. And I tried to think of some witty way to try and explain come. And all I thought of, well, why do we have to come? When I tell someone, come here, my daughter or my kids or whoever, come here, why do I have to come? Why don't you come over for dinner? Why don't you come here? Why do we have to come? Because we're not there yet. I don't know how to put it any simpler. Why do we have to come? Because we're not there yet. There's something in between. There's a gap. Come. Four times in the first verse alone. I want to look at the entire text, maybe not expository verse by verse. I do plan to hit all the verses, but I want to look at it by answering some questions. So this is, again, for those of you that are note takers. Who gave this invitation? Who gave this great invitation? I mentioned we were on vacation. We actually went to the Florida Keys. It was great. Spent some time with my wife and daughters down there. Keys are famous for their sunrises and sunsets. I did not get up for the sunrise once. I think my wife got up every day for the sunrise. I'm a late night guy. So we stayed at a small, quiet resort. It was great. And I went out late one night and just sat down, just enjoyed nature. And I was looking out on the ocean and I was just thinking, what is my next landmass in my line of sight? Not that I could see it. And I was just struck by how big the ocean was. And I'm sitting there in my chair, and I'm looking at, on the horizon in the distance, God's putting on a lightning show. And it was amazing. The sky would light up over here, and then it would light up over there. And I actually tried to take pictures and video, and nothing would do it justice. And I was just sitting there in awe of God. And then I leaned back, and the sky was pitch black, but littered with stars. I don't think I've ever seen so many stars. I was just sitting there in awe of creation and of God. And this is who is giving this invitation. We see it in verse 3. Come to me. Come to the Lord. We see it directly written in verse 7. Return to the Lord. Who is this God in verse 8? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And this is Rick's sarcasm. Yeah, just slightly higher. The moon is 251,000 miles from the earth. 251,000. The sun is 8 times further than that. And that's still not the end of the galaxy. Yes, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. This is who is giving this invitation. Notice in verse 11, you may miss it. God is extolling the merits of his word. We have it still to this day. You want to understand God better? It's his word. His word accomplishes his purposes. Notice verse 12. I skipped verse 10. I'm sorry. God controls nature. The rain, the snow, the trees budding, the flourishing. He controls it all. We see it again in verse 12 that the trees will clap their hands. And for how long? Verse 13. This is everlasting. From no end at the beginning to no end, God is everlasting. Who is giving this invitation? A sovereign, omnipotent, holy, eternal God. This is who is giving this invitation. Who's getting the invitation? This is who times two in your bulletin if you're a note taker. A wayward Israel. Who's getting this invitation? The good, the elite, someone that's deserving, someone that I want to come over. A wayward Israel gets this invitation. And today, who gets it? Us. A wayward people. All of us. Who gets it? Everyone. But who takes advantage of it? Only the thirsty. Who takes advantage of this? The thirsty. Those who are desperate. Those who know they have a need. You have no need. If you have no need, if you're elite, I can do it all on my own. I don't need it. You will not take advantage of this invitation. This invitation is for those who are thirsty, for those who are at the end of their rope, for those that know they need help and ask for it. That's who gets this invitation. We all get it. Are we all taking advantage of it? Are we seeing our need? This is our next note. What is being offered in this invitation? We see that water is being offered. We see milk is being offered. We see that wine is being offered. Water, how long can you go without it? I should have looked it up. I didn't. A couple, 3 days, right? You can go without food for weeks. Some of us a little bit longer than others. Milk. If you just feed a baby water, how's that going to go for the baby? The water doesn't have the nutrients that are going to grow that baby. The baby needs milk, so the milk helps the baby grow. And wine, I know alcohol can get some negative press. It was never intended to be abused as it is on the earth. But wine in this context for these people would symbol celebration. It would symbolize joy. It would symbolize wealth, actually. Not everybody, they didn't have Tremont Liquors. We could go get a $6 bottle of wine. Wine was wealth. Wine was joy. I think of Jesus' miracle, the wedding celebration. What did he do? His first miracle. He turned water to wine. Now, is that really what this is talking about? Is this really what God is proliferating, is food? Verse 2, eat what is good. Delight yourself in rich food. If you're the King James, I like this. Enjoy the fatness. So is God talking about not eating macaroni and cheese, but eating lobster here? Is this truly what he's offering us? God is offering something far greater. God is offering verse 3, eat and take this invitation so your soul may live. So your soul may live. This is much more. This is salvation in Isaiah 55. This is verse 12. This is joy and peace. I watch news to my peril. I mean, I enjoy it, but it's to my peril. Joy and peace. Are we seeing that? I haven't prayed for the presidential election. Are we seeing joy and peace in the news? Has anybody followed Rwanda this week? Bangladesh? Venezuela? Horrible. But am I getting joy and peace from the news or from this earth? God is offering deeper. If you are a Christian, if you have accepted it, this is the peace that passes understanding from this invitation. This wells from within. Or do you have it? And if you don't have it, God wants to give it to you. Are you living it? Does your joy and peace come from within? So your soul lives. Yes, eternally. He's talking about salvation. We'll talk about that more. But he's talking about it now. And I put it facetiously, this is your best life now. But it's not money. And it's not power, and it's not prestige, and it's not prosperity, and it's not health. It is what Jesus talks about in John 10:10. I came to give life, and life more abundantly. Eternally, yes, but now. Folks, it's a challenge for us. Are you living it? Is it in your heart? Do you have it? That's what's being offered. Come and buy. Buy without money. I don't think I really have to explain the concept of buying, but this is an oxymoron, isn't it? Buying without money, this doesn't work. If you buy something, it's money, or at a minimum, a bartering or an exchange. You don't buy something without money. That's a gift. That's how it works. Buying without money, it just doesn't translate. It's like a deafening silence. It's like a new fossil. It's like rap music. It doesn't work. But this is God's economy. This is not our economy. This is God's economy. Come and buy without money. Come and buy without money. So how does that work? Is it really free? Is it really free? The Share Closet is a great ministry our church has. We charge nominal fees, right? I mean, pennies on the dollar for an item. But why do we charge anything? Why do we not just give that stuff away? Because if you purchase something, even at a reduced rate, there's ownership. There's skin in the game. We did this with our daughters. We helped them buy their first car. I didn't buy them their first car. We helped them. Even if you pay anything, you have a sense of pride. You have a sense of desire. I helped purchase that, even if you got a great deal. That's why we have to do things at the Share Closet. Is this really free? Well, for us, it truly is free. But a price was paid for this that we're buying. for us for free. That price came through Jesus. Jesus paid this price, and it was staggering. It's seen in Isaiah 53, two chapters previous. Jesus is beaten to the point where we can't recognize him as a human. He is looked down on. He is cast. He is a downcast man. By his stripes we are healed. And why? He was wounded for my transgressions. A price was paid. We see it in Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We see it in Philippians 2:8 that Jesus was put to death. He was obedient to death, even death on a cross. We see the price. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father, no one, but through me. And we see in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, became sin for us. This is free for us. We can buy it without money, but this came at an inordinate cost. For it is by grace you are saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now notice here, verse 13. It's what we're not getting. We deserve death. Our sin separates us from God. We are not getting briars and thorns. Reading that verse quickly again. Instead of the thorn bush, we will grow the pine tree. And instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. We are not getting what we deserve through this grace, through faith. How? How do I get it? How do I get this invitation? We talked about who gave it. We talked about what's being offered. How do I get it? Well, I buy it, but I put it on God's account. I buy it for free. It's free for me, but it's put on God's account. I pay nothing. I pay nothing. What do? I believe. I have to believe. I have to accept this through faith. But I contribute nothing to this price that was paid. I don't have my skin in the game. I didn't put a penny on the dollar of this. I hope this is coming through. Yes, it's free for us, but we didn't pay the price. And a huge price was paid. And I intentionally wanted to preach on the whole passage for a few of these points, and a couple of them are here. In verse 6, we read that there's some terms. It's free for us, but some of these things don't get mentioned maybe enough from the pulpit, and I want to hit them now because it's truth and it's in Scripture. There's terms to this. Seek God while he may be found. And my first thought there is, of course, well, when someone is deceased, they can no longer seek God. And that happens. There was a tragedy locally. I believe someone at the foundry at Caterpillar went to work this week one day and didn't come home. I mean, there's reality to that truth. There will be a day in broad terms where no one can seek God, similar to the ark. When those eight people went in the ark and God shut the door, no one else got in the ark. And that ark did save those people, but that's because they were inside already. And that will happen one day when Christ comes again, where no one will be able to seek God. But I think there's a different thing, or a third way. And that is seek God while he's found. Because if you're under the impression that you can seek God on your terms and at your convenience and at your time, that's not scriptural. Well, I'm going to live my life now. And at the end of my life, maybe on my deathbed, maybe just prior, then I'm going to seek God out and he has to accept me. You are drawn by the Holy Spirit to the Lord. Seek God while he's found. Do not fall under the lie that you can live your life now. And when it's convenient for you, on your terms, at your convenience, that you can reach out to God. Seek God while he may be found. And verse 7 is repent. We don't talk about that word up here enough. I'm not necessarily talking about Northfield, but repent and return to the Lord. This invitation, this should cause a life change. Do you know the person that said a prayer when they were 6 years old and they live in a life nothing resembling Christianity? There's some questions there. I'm not going to go into all that, but there's some questions there. This should repent. This should cause us to recognize the sin in our lives and to recognize the sin and then to turn from it and to live a life more pleasing to God. This should cause a life change in us. You have to hear this message, though. You have to hear the message. You have to hear it to believe. How can they believe if they have not heard? Romans 10:14. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? There it is again, the word of God. He that has ears to hear, 15 times in the New Testament by Jesus, his most repeated phrase, 50, he that has ears to hear what? Let him hear. Let him hear. Today, harden not your hearts. Again, at the back, seek God while he's found. Today is the day. In John 1:12, for as many as believed, to them gave he the power to be sons and daughters of God. Folks, it's why we have missions. It's why we have missions. Isaiah 54 is a great thing in missions. It is why we send people, Revelation 7:9, because all tribes and tongues will come. They have to hear the message. It's why Amy Blair spent her life in Thailand. It is why the Shavers are helping people in Tamiland. It is why the Bruners are overseas. I could name other missionaries. It is why we send the gospel out. They have to hear the message. Missions aren't about healthcare or improving the lives of people or helping some helping oppression. They are, and those are all valuable things. But we're not teaching Aesop's fables to people. We're teaching the word of God. They have to hear the message. It's why we preach it right here. It's following the Great Commission. If we don't, Luke 19:40 says these stones will praise God. We have to preach the message. Are we proclaiming this great invitation? So why? Why did God give this invitation? What motivated him? What prompted him? This is verse 3. God says, it's because of my faithful love. God gave a wayward people this motivation because it's his faithful love. He reads back to the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel 7. And he made a promise to David that David's line will live on the throne, will reign forever through David. And that comes in the person of Jesus Christ, who's referenced fairly, quite clearly, I believe, in verse 5. The Holy One of Israel. That is not referring to David. The Holy One of Israel, clearly in this passage, is Jesus Christ. And verse 7, again we see why this invitation. Because of God's mercy and free pardon. And for those of us that are Christians, that mercy and that free pardon is new every morning. New every morning. And in case I haven't made this clear, this holy God wants a relationship with you. This is personal. This is personal. That holy God wants a relationship with you. He knows you and he loves you. And he knows all of the deep recesses of your heart that you don't share and you don't want to share because they're dark and they're cold. And he loves you anyways. And he gave this invitation to you because he wants a relationship with you now on earth so that you may live on earth and live more abundantly and then everlasting. That you will live everlasting. That Almighty God wants a relationship with you. Why? Why accept this invitation? Because verse 2, because nothing else really satisfies. Nothing else really satisfies you on earth. I mentioned we were in Florida and we were at a little resort and the maintenance guy there, well, I'll take it back. There was a guy there that had a fishing charter boat. 30-foot boat. It was awesome. And I was just like, and he was a cool dude. He's wearing his own t-shirt. You know, he's got his own shirt. I talked to him a couple times. He runs a charter business, and people pay him good money to take them out fishing. And I thought, told my wife and kids, I was like, this guy's awesome. Like, this guy is seriously a rock star. This guy lives in the Florida Keys. People pay him to fish. He's the expert. He's a crew of one. He answers to nobody. Nobody answers to him. He has no personnel issues. People pay him good money. They're in great moods because they're on vacation in the Keys. He's the expert. He knows where the fish are. He knows how. Are we there? Okay. He knows where they are. He takes people to catch them. They're having a great day. What's he get to do? He comes back tomorrow and does the same thing. This guy is awesome. He's got probably, I'm assuming, 5 fantastic stories and 8 great jokes. And he gets to say them every day because the audience is different. I mean, seriously, this guy's got it all. And he doubled as the maintenance guy at the resort. And he would tool around. I think they're called a 1-pint or a 1/2-pint, those skateboards with the one wheel in the middle that are electric. And he'd stand on that thing and he would just tool around that resort. You guys seen those things that I'm talking about? And he would just cruise around and there were steps there and he'd just cruise underneath. And I'm like, this guy has just got it all. So you pay for vacation, right? You pay for it financially. And boy, I paid for it. That first day back from vacation, can anybody resonate with me? You pay for vacation. I didn't take my my work. I didn't take any of it with me. So Monday morning this past week, it hit hard. And you know, 10 o'clock and I'm 200 emails into the 600 emails I'm behind. And people are coming to my desk asking me, you know, well, what about this? What about that? I don't know. I've been gone for 8 working days. I have no clue what is going on. Let me get up to speed. And I'm being very candid. As I sat there at my desk, I'm like, I wish I was that guy. I was. And I don't think that first thought was bad. But then I threw myself a little pity party quietly at my desk. I wish I was that guy. Why? I don't really want my job. I don't want to be 800 emails behind. I don't want these questions. I want to take people fishing. And God said, are you preaching on Isaiah 55? Living life now abundantly? And have I not done enough for you? Have I not done enough? You want to be this guy? What are you doing, Rick? Sitting here throwing yourself a one-man pity party. Am I not enough? This invitation wasn't enough. Folks, what are you chasing? Nothing else will satisfy. What are you chasing? If only I was at the next stage of life. If only the 401k was bigger. Or maybe backwards, if only I was at a previous stage of life. Life was better then. If only I got a promotion. If only. What are you chasing? Nothing outside of Jesus will satisfy you. Absolutely nothing will satisfy your soul outside of Jesus. Live this reality, folks. Live it every day. Live life abundantly every day. There is another hard truth here. In Mark 8, for what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? There's a harsh reality coming at the end. We will all live eternally. It depends on your destination. Will you accept this invitation? Fear him, Matthew 10, 28, for who can kill body and soul? And verse 13 again reminds us that this is everlasting. This is all done for the Lord's renown, and it is everlasting. Come. If you've never come, come today. Today is the day. If you've never come, come talk to me afterwards. Come talk to Luke or the worship team. Come talk to Evan in the office or someone that you know. Come today. If you have come, but you've lost your way, come back today. Come back today. Well, Rick, you don't know how far I've gone. I'm embarrassed. You don't know what I've done. I've fallen into this sin another time again. This is, God will not forgive me the 14th time for this sin. Come back today. Come back today. Well, I can't forgive myself. You're 100% correct. You can't. Come back today. If you come every day, come closer. Come closer. You'll never get to the end of God's love. You'll never get to the end of his wisdom. You'll never get to the end of his righteousness. Come closer. And I might add, proclaim it. Folks, I can't influence your sphere of influence. You can't influence mine. You are where you need to be. You are where God wants you. Are you proclaiming it with your coworkers, with your students, with your family? Are you proclaiming this invitation in your sphere? You can't influence mine. I can't influence yours. And can we get here? This is where we need to get. This is Peter in John 6, 68. When some of the disciples have left Christ, and Jesus says to Peter, will you leave too? And Peter says, where else could I go? You have the words of everlasting life. Folks, stripped of everything on this earth, penniless with the gallows coming, Paul writes us, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. Folks, can we get there? Come. We're going to close with a song. As the worship team comes up, we're going to reread this passage. If you're distracted by the worship team or the commotion on stage, just close your eyes and listen to this scripture passage read for us again.
Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it out. You will go out in joy, and you will be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever.